figure five.
I told you that we wanted to zero in on that seventh verse of 1 Peter 5, which we will do. But let's look at the context as we read it together. Look at the context here. Verse 1, the elders. Now, the elders meaning the spiritual elders in the local church. Peter is specifically addressing them. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He says to these elders, these spiritual leaders, feed the flock of God, that is, tend to it, whatever the needs might be. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, that is, not because you're forced to, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, that is, not for money, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, not as a dictator, you might say, a tyrant, but being ensamples or examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, we know who that is, when he shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, be wide awake. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, that is, complete, establish, strengthen, settle you. Great passage. How many of you have ever either heard of or read Pilgrim's Progress? Okay. More people probably have heard of it than have read it. But if you're even vaguely familiar with the story, you know how Bunyan introduces this character, Pilgrim, to us as a man that had a great burden upon his back. I don't think anything more accurately describes people in general, and it's evidenced, of course, in many ways in their trying to deal with it, then people have a burden on them. No words of Jesus are more appealing to folks that feel that burden, and those wonderful words that he spoke, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. So many people are carrying such a heavy burden that I think in many cases people that are in the hospital for physical ailments may, if the matter is researched, it may be discovered that their physical ailments were the result of other things that have caused the physical ailments. By that I mean burdens that perhaps the stress that they've been under, mental and spiritual. What are we to do with burdens? Well, in a sense, we've been made to bear burdens. The Bible says, for instance, in Galatians chapter 2, that we're to bear one another's burdens. Rather, Galatians 6, verse 2, it also says in that same sixth chapter that there are burdens that we specifically are to bear ourselves. And if you have a burden, and you ask God to lift that burden, normally you don't find that happening like that. God does not magically take away our burdens when we ask him to. In fact, Paul asked the Lord three times to take a heavy burden off of him, and the Lord finally said, no. He said, I'm not going to do what you're asking me to do because I have a better plan. and I have a purpose for the burden that you're afflicted with and you're suffering under. And I want you to find that though I don't take the burden from you, you'll find that I'll give you the strength to be able to carry that burden. Which leads me to say this, we're not meant to merely carry our burdens, but we're meant to learn, we have to learn how to cast those burdens on the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7 is, of course, where we're zooming in. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. There are three things that I want to point out from this verse, but actually it all funnels down to one thing. But I want to look at it from three different angles. First of all, let's begin by talking about the need to be carrying our cares to the Lord. Before you can cast a care upon the Lord, you have to carry that care to the Lord. He doesn't just mean for us to carry them. They're too heavy for us to bear. He wants us to cast them, but before we cast, we have to carry. I think the 1 Peter 5:7 of the Old Testament is Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. You see, it's not just New Testament truth, it's just Bible truth that God wants us to take our burdens and cast them upon Him. But there is a carrying of those burdens, but it is to the Lord. Now look at that verse with me, verse 7 of chapter 5, and let's zero in on a couple of words there. First of all, he says, casting all your care upon Him. Now that is a different word than he uses in that same verse when he says, for He careth for you. The word care that we're to cast on Him is different from the kind of care that God has for us. And it's this. We are to cast all our care on Him. And the word care, as it appears the first time in verse 7, is a word that refers to our anxiety, our worry. It's a word that literally means to be pulled in different directions. And you know, when you pull things in different directions, it has the tendency of actually coming apart. I like to play tug of war with my dog, with a rag or something like that. He doesn't do it as much as he used to. He's an old man now, so I'm being an old man. But we play once in a while still. But he grabs on one end, I grab on the other, and you know, it's a tug of war. And often what happens is it's an old rag, and that's why we can play with it, and because it's an old rag, it eventually rips. It tears. That's what the word care means. To be pulled in different directions so that you're being pulled apart. Casting those kinds of burdens, carrying those kinds of anxieties to the Lord, the things that would tear you apart, the things that give you anxiety, that you're pulled in different directions and it tears you into pieces. Those are the things that you have to be able to carry to the Lord. Well, what are they? Well, I think they come in two categories. Our cares, our anxieties are in two categories. First of all, the failures in our lives. The failures that we face. Sin. The burden of failure. One that you don't need to carry before the Lord, of course, is the fact that your sin has been already carried by Him to Calvary. In the same letter of Peter, in the second chapter, in the 24th verse, he says, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness." And so there is a sense in which we don't have to carry our sins. He's carried them already for us. But we do have to, while that's good news, We do have to deal with sin when it arises in our life, the failures of sin in our life that we face. In fact, you know, you can experience doubts about whether or not God's truly forgiven your sin. I think that it's a sin not to believe that the Lord has forgiven your sin if you've confessed it. I think then you have some more confessing to do, and that is that you have not taken Him at His word. You have not believed Him. A lot of people have doubts regarding their salvation because they simply are not taking God at His word. They are doubting His word to them. They're doubting the very promise of God that He brings full salvation. And guilt is something that God builds into us. When we don't properly handle our sin, when we don't properly face our failures, guilt will be the natural result of that. But folks, I find that oftentimes God's people are carrying around guilt that is false, that they don't need to be carrying around, because they have confessed the sin, but they are not believing God for His forgiveness. And if they should have any guilt at all, it should be that I haven't believed God for forgiveness. If you've never shed this kind of burden, this burden of sin, it's a very simple thing. It's faith. It's simply coming to Him with it and giving it to Him. And there then is a forgiveness. There is a cleansing. There is a release of guilt. And if you don't have a sense of a release of guilt, then number one, either you haven't truly confessed the sin, or you're not trusting Him for the forgiveness that He promises if you confess it. Well, what does it mean to confess sin? How do I know if I've really done it? It's simply saying the same thing about your sin that God does. That's all. It's not very difficult. It's just taking personal responsibility for it and believing that God forgives it. In fact, I would venture to say, and I think this is true, that if you name the sin, that's what literally confessing means, to name it. If you name the sin, if you take personal responsibility for it by naming it, you don't even have to ask God to forgive you. He said if we confess, He will forgive. It's almost like an automatic thing. If you truly confess it, God automatically forgives it and cleanses it. And you don't have to ask Him to do it, because He said He'll do it if you will do your part, and that is confess it. If you'll own it and name it. Does that make sense? Question about that? Yeah.
What about Esau? He cried, he confessed, and yet wasn't forgiven.
Yeah, I don't know about Esau. I don't even know if Esau was a believer. You know, I don't know. But I do know what the Bible says about us, and I do know what the Bible says about His willingness to forgive and to cleanse those that confess it. Did Esau really confess his sin? Well, obviously not. If he could not find repentance, then perhaps he hadn't really expressed repentance. Perhaps it was regret more than repentance. So I don't know about Esau, but yeah. Right. Something he didn't ask for, but he got, simply by owning his nature, owning up to it. There's a song, I think it's in our book, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. That's a wonderful song, and I met the man that wrote that song. And his name was, I don't know if he's still living, his name's John Moore. And he told about the circumstances that he was an assistant pastor in Glasgow, Scotland. And he said that the senior pastor was away, and so he was kind of in charge. And he was more or less the youth pastor versus, you know, but an associate pastor nonetheless of this congregation. And they had I don't know what you call it, but it was like a sailor's mission. Because they were at Glasgow as a port, and there would be ships that would be coming in and out of there all the time. And so they had a port there in Glasgow, and the church was connected with a mission there. And he said it was one terrible weather one night, and a call came into the church about a sailor. It was from his parents, alerting them that there was their son from a different country had been taken sick and was in a hospital there in Glasgow. And they were Christian parents. Their son was a wayward son that had run away from the things of the Lord and gone to sea to get away from it all. But he was sick and really on his deathbed, and the parents called the church to see if they would send someone to speak to this young man. Well, Brother Moore took the call, and so he was the only one available, so he went out and he visited this young man that night. And he really was at death's door, and he shared with him the forgiveness of God. And the young man got saved that night, and I think died by morning. He was gone. But John Moore went home, and he was just overcome. He could see God's hand in all of this. And the Lord gave him the words of that song, and that's the hymn story. For burdens are lifted at Calvary. How this young sailor, on his deathbed basically, cast his care. The song says, cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. And that young man went into eternity with a light heart. His burden was lifted that evening. But we carry cares to the Lord. And the first one is the failures that we face, our sin. But also, another type of burden that perhaps is more common to God's people is the future that we fear. And that is our worries, our anxieties. In Matthew chapter 13, that parable of the sower, he talks about the cares of this world that snatch away the good seed that's been planted in the life. So often we find that, don't we, in not only our own experience, but as we observe other people's lives, how often people seem to be, God's working in their life, and all of a sudden something, some care interferes, and they get pulled away, and they don't go on with the Lord. Or they get distracted by this thing, the cares. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food, the body more than clothing? And then he gives the illustration of the birds and the flowers of the field and so forth and so on. And then he says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the nations, the heathen, the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow, the future, shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Here God is, Lord Jesus is talking about his promise to meet all of our needs, present and future needs. And God sees, as we talked about it this morning, we're under his eyes. And he sees and he knows. He's the only one that knows the future. He's the one that has planned the future for us, actually, already. He's the one that is going to provide for us. He's the one that provided for us in 2014. He's the one that will provide for us in this new year. And cares are more than you ever could carry. And his supply is more than sufficient for whatever our needs are. Now, this Sermon on the Mount almost seems ridiculous to us as Americans, taking thought what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear. We don't worry about that kind of stuff, do we? There's other things that we worry about. We don't worry about where our next meal's coming from, usually. We don't worry about what we'll eat, what we'll drink. We don't even worry about what we'll wear. The only worry about that is, I have so many things to wear, I don't know which outfit. And so, but there are things that we do worry about concerning the future. Paying bills, you know, having the support that we need. Whatever it might be, health issues. Those are the kinds of fears, those are the worries, those are the anxieties that we carry to the Lord. Besides our failures, our future. Because we don't know the future, but God does. And He knows the end from the beginning. And therefore, in light of that, He says in that same sixth chapter of Matthew, your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of before you ask Him. And add to that His not only His omniscience, His all-knowing, but add to that His love, that He's gracious, that He's merciful. I mean, when you put all of that together about God, then what really do you have to fear? Carrying your cares to the Lord. You carry your cares to the Lord through a prayer life, through speaking to Him, through airing your needs before Him throughout the day. But it doesn't end there in just carrying your care to the Lord. He says in that seventh verse of 1 Peter 5, casting all your care upon Him. So there's the need to be carrying your cares to the Lord. But here there is also the next step, is casting your cares on the Lord. Casting all your care on Him. We have to share our cares with the Lord. Casting them. That word casting means to throw something upon another person. To give something up to another person. And it's in a tense that means that you throw it upon that person, give it up to that person one time for good, once and for all, which is important, as we'll see in just a moment. But when you give it to the Lord, whatever the care is, whatever the anxiety is, whatever the burden is, you don't give it to Him in pieces. You give it to Him in one lump sum. All of it, casting all your care upon Him. It's an energetic word, this word casting. It's the same thing of throwing, you know, like a pitcher throwing a fastball, high speed, hard as he can. That's all inherent in that word casting. You're throwing upon the Lord all of your cares, all of your anxieties, all your worries, all your fears. You're casting it upon Him. It's a personal thing. Casting all your care. You know, we have enough of our own, but it's weird how that we often take the cares of other people upon ourselves and make them ours. As if we need theirs too. But of course, we have a scripture verse that tells us there's a sense in which we bear one another's burdens. It's a personal thing. And it's something that we're to do purposefully. To cast your care upon the Lord is to thoughtfully hand it over from yourself to Him. So we must share our cares, and the fact of the matter is He must bear our cares for us. And the reason, there really are two sides to consider here, why we must cast our care upon Him. And the first side is a positive note, because verse 7 says, He cares for you. Why we must cast our cares upon Him? Because you're the special object of Jesus' care. And we've heard some of that We've heard that in testimonies. And it's a wonderful thing to be encouraged by hearing how God has specially cared for you. Because when we hear what He's done for you, we think, well, then, you know, maybe He'll care for me too. And He will. He'll care for you because you're the special object of, literally. And I like to think of it this way. He says, throw all your care upon me because you matter to me. That's what He's saying here. Everything that comes into your life, everything about your life matters to me. There's nothing insignificant when it comes to God's concern about our well-being. We matter to Him. You know how someone very dear to your heart matters to you? You care about them deeply? Magnify that. God says, throw your care upon me because you matter to me. I care about you. So we must share our cares and He must bear our cares. That's what He's best at. But the negative side of the reason why we have to cast our cares upon Him is, I think, in the verses that follow. He says in verse 8 and 9, that we have an evil one, an enemy, that is waiting to devour us if he could. The fact of the matter is, Satan would love for your anxiety, for your worry, for your fears to just eat you up. He hates you, and he wants to use your cares to devour you. And he does so very subtly and mercilessly as well. You know, it's interesting, the thought that Peter, think of the references to the devil and Peter. Remember there at Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked his disciples the question, whom do men say that I am? Peter says, thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, my Father which is in heaven. You've been the mouthpiece of God. Three verses down, Jesus has just told them that he's going to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the priests and scribes, and that he's going to be killed. He's going to be killed. Far be it from thee, Lord. This isn't going to happen to you. Not while I'm around. This shall never be. Jesus' response to Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. For you savor not the things that be of God, but of men. And then, the very night on which Jesus was betrayed, he predicts that all his disciples are going to forsake him. And Peter says, yeah, they may all, but never me. I will never forsake you. And Jesus says to him, according to Luke, Peter, I want to warn you, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for thee. And when thou art converted, when you're turned around, when you're turned back to me, strengthen thy brethren. So Peter has firsthand experience with being an instrument of the devil. Peter knows what it is to have the devil at work in his life. Those are just two instances from his own life. In ministry. And so he says to us, you better take the cares, you better take your anxieties, your worries, your fears, and you better throw them upon the Lord, because if you don't, the devil's going to use that to his advantage in your life. And he wants to devour Christians anyway, if he can. And one way that he can do that effectively is through your anxiety. And I think that's what we're to understand here. In the context, that one of the negative reasons why he must bear our cares for us is because you are the object, while you are the object of God's special care, you're the object of Satan's hatred. And he wants to use your cares to devour your life. George Mueller, who built the orphanages at Ashley Down in Bristol, England, without a personal salary, he relied upon the Lord to supply the money and the food needed to support hundreds of these homeless children. And a man of great faith, we know. He had a motto that he kept on his desk for many years that brought comfort and strength and uplifted his heart. And it simply was this: it matters to him about you. Well, that's a literal rendering of that last phrase in 1 Peter 5:7. For he careth for you. It matters to him about you. It matters to him about you. And Mueller believed that truth, and he testified that at the end of his life, the Lord had never failed to supply his needs. Here's a poem that I think says it also. Be not troubled with thoughts of the morrow, of duties you surely must do. For the mists of this dark age are clearing, then be patient until his appearing. 'Tis dawn almost now on your view, in love he is planning for you. On the Lord cast your burden of sorrow, it matters to him about you. Be not weary when trials are given, but trust him to carry you through. He will make all a pathway to heaven, it matters to him about you. So there is in this verse implied is carrying your burdens to the Lord. Very clearly and explicitly casting your burdens on the Lord. But I think there's a third thing that I want to mention that, of course, I think also is implicit in this verse. But I just want to stress it because I think this is often where we mess up. We may carry our burden to the Lord, we may cast it upon the Lord, but I think that there is not only the need to carry and to cast, but to leave cares with the Lord. If you truly cast it upon the Lord, that means you leave the cares with the Lord. Now, my mom, bless her heart, is just like you and I. She loves to give things to be a help to people. And she gave when my dad passed away, she gave her nice bedroom suit to my sister, my younger sister, who needed it at the time. And a few years ago, my mother realized that bedroom suit was no longer there. That my sister had gotten rid of it for some reason or another, didn't need it. She's upset about it. Well, she told me about it. I shouldn't have given that to her, you know. She should have kept that. I said, Mom, when you give it, it's no longer yours. They're free to do with it what they want. You know, when you give something away, you forget about it. It's not yours to worry about anymore. If you truly cast your burden on the Lord, then it's not your burden anymore. Why take it back? Why be an Indian giver? Is that a politically incorrect word? You know what I mean. Leaving your cares with the Lord. I think just as vital as taking your cares, carrying them to the Lord, and casting them on the Lord is committing them to Him and leaving those cares with Him and not picking them up again and turning around and carrying them away with you. Because you really didn't cast them if you take them back, right? It's like you throw and then you go and retrieve it. Leave your cares with the Lord. And don't pick them up again. Learn resting faith. Learn to rest in the Lord. He says, I will give you rest. Well, you're not resting in the Lord if you're worried. You're not resting in the Lord if your heart is filled with anxiety about the future, about things. There's a faith that is... It's clinging, you know. It's like Jacob clinging onto the angel of the Lord. He believes that he can bless him, but he's not sure, so he's going to just keep clinging. And we need that kind of faith. But we need to get to the place where, you know what? Where it's not that kind of clinging, it's just resting. You just have sat down, so to speak, upon the person and the promise of God, and you're just believing Him. That's what I mean by leaving your cares with the Lord. The Christian life, if it's properly understood, is a life of rest. It's not a life of restlessness. It's not a life of worry and fear and troubled in your mind and anxiety-filled and panic-attacked and being pulled in your thoughts. It's a life of rest, and a life of rest is a life of faith. It's a life of trust. You need the ability to let it go and turn away and leave it totally in God's hands. Let go and let God. Someone said, Lord, I'm so discouraged, I don't know what to do. I have so many burdens and I gave them all to you, but you didn't take them, Jesus. Will you tell me why that's so? The answer's simple, little one. Because you won't let go. Stories told of a boy who was walking along the road and he was carrying a very heavy load on his back. And a man came along in a horse-drawn cart and offered him a ride. And so the boy climbed up in the cart, but he kept the heavy load on his shoulders. And when the man asked him why he didn't put the load down on the cart, the boy replied, because he didn't want to burden the horse. We've climbed into the cart of salvation through Christ. He is, in fact, bearing the entire load. Why don't we let go and put it all on Him? Have you ever tried to sit down, or let's better than that, have you ever tried to lay down in your back with a backpack on your back? Doesn't work. Certainly not comfortable. But that's what it's like to not leave your cares with the Lord. I don't know in the reading if you thought about the context, but look back with me at the context, and with this we'll close, or we'll open it up to questions. The context here, see it? Verse 5, submit yourselves, be clothed with humility. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, He'll exalt you and do. The context of this whole casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you, is humility. Because if you don't humble yourself, you'll never do it. Because pride tries to handle things yourself. Casting your care is to subordinate yourself, to humble yourself. That's what humility looks like. It's casting your care upon. The humblest thing you can do is cast your care upon the Lord. Are you humble enough to be carefree? Casting your care, your anxiety on God means that you're trusting the promise that He cares for you, that you matter to Him, and He has the power and the wisdom to put that care to work in the most glorious way in your life. And that trust is the opposite of pride. It's the essence of humility. It's the confidence that the mighty hand of God is not over you to crush you, but to care for you, just like the promise says. So don't be proud. Cast your anxieties on Him because He will care for you. And whenever your heart starts to be anxious about the future, preach to your heart. Preach to yourself. And say, self, who do you think you are to be afraid of the future and to nullify the promise of God? No. You're not going to exalt yourself with anxiety. I'm rather going to humble myself in peace and joy as I trust this precious and great promise of God. He cares for me. I don't know if they do it much anymore, but used to send packages through the mail that perhaps had glass or some breakable material, and they'd write on the package, fragile, handle with care. I don't think they care anymore. But anyway, you know, life is fragile. And we must learn how to handle care. And the way that you handle care as a believer is you carry that care to the Lord and you cast that care on the Lord, but you turn and walk away having left that care with the Lord. And that's the key. You know, I often see that thing played out, not only in my own life, but in other Christian lives. Well, they pray and they give this thing to the Lord, but they're still worried about it. They really haven't cast it. They went through the motions of it, but they picked it up and walked away with it again. And you know what? You can truly cast it and then later on pick it back up. So when you realize you've done that, then take it back and cast it again and leave it there. However many times you have to do that in any given day, do it. Do it. Don't carry it. Cast it. That's what he says. That's what he wants to do for you. Thoughts, questions, suggestions?
Taking other burdens.